WKNB K2IVX. K2IVX listening. K2IVX, Synapsix, David Peter Zebra. Hey Al, I don't want to get caught up in this stuff, so if you want to give me a call on 5-2, if we still hear each other, that's fine. K2IVX. I'll send it over to 5-2, give me about a minute, okay? Because DP's are clear. Sure, I'll hear you, but I'm down at the dock. We'll give it a shot. K2IVX, K6DPC, no good. If you have a repeater I could swing on to, possibly could do it there, or if you get a chance and you're free, give me a ring at Oceanside, K6DPC. K6DPC. Yeah, don't get in the middle of this thing. You don't know the whole story. It's no use to you being lambasted. K6DPC clear. No, that's not right. K2, good grief. Rich, I can't believe my head just went blank. K2KNB, YVX.
Now, will you settle for the Vice President?
I'll settle for just about anybody, over.
Well, this is Neil, W2NDG. Just getting on the Northern State. Kind of forgot the trains are going to be running holiday schedules today. So I'm going to drive into Jamaica and hop on the subway.
Hey, nice meeting you, Neil. We've probably talked, or met. I've been in the club for a long time, but just don't remember anything anymore. But that's okay, because nobody else does either. And I guess that everybody's getting too old. God, the sun is murdering you. Just like to know, I'm sorry to drive you crazy like I've been driving a lot of other people crazy of how the signal is and whether you hear it breaking up as I drive along. What the heck is that? As I drive along Main Street in Port Washington, Neil. The name is Len, London Echo November. Why I do that, I will never know. And call is K2 India Victor X-ray, over.
All right, Len, well, you sound fine, and, all right, I'm pretty sure you're the person that Andy is supposed to give me your contact information, because you wanted some recommendations for QRP gear, and Andy can never remember who it was who was asking, I guess, and then when he remembered, I think he just forgot to tell me, so... Now that I know your call sign, I can probably figure out how to get in touch with you.
My goodness gracious, there is a God. That's funny. I remembered the Neil part, but I didn't remember the call. But I'm going to pull over here and try and find a pencil and write it down. God, the sun is burning you. You got these crossings in Port Washington now where you have to let people walk across or they shoot you. Stand by one second, Neil. I think I've got a pen in my bag here. So just stand by one. Can't find it. Okay, well, actually, you said the magic words. I didn't realize, nor did Andy say it. Andy's got it. His head is worse than mine. Did you say you're VP of the club now? Over.
Affirmative. In fact, unfortunately, the last meeting was a whole meeting presentation on QRP, and we had like a show and tell. So, the one radio that John brought in, which everybody has been raving about, if you don't mind splurging a little, is definitely the one to go for.
Unless it's a national secret, tell me the name. I think I've gone a little bit overboard when I say the QRP. I mean, I know the, what is it, XX3, 3XX. You know, I'm not carrying this thing up a mountain. I'm too old for that. I mean, a radio that can go down from something down to about 5 watts is fine also. That's why I'm looking at the 706 and that kind of deal. But please tell me, unless it's something you approaching a sex or something you know how to do on the phone, on the radio, let me know. It's, I'm really interested. Yeah, the thing, I'd like to be able to do QRP, but it doesn't have to be a dedicated QRP radio deal, over.
VX-K60-PC, Barry, Rocco on Weimark, to report to you on 146520. Did you get that?
Hal, why are you on here talking to our members in the first place? W2NDG Mobile. And telling them to go elsewhere. Just don't understand you.
Why don't you call me on the phone and I'll tell you, so we don't discuss it over the radio. I just wanted to tell him to call Barry on 146520 Simplex. Barry called me on the phone. He won't go online, Mark. It's too confrontational. And you can call me, and I'll tell you why I'm going back on, okay? I'm not arguing with anybody. It's K6 Delta Papa Zulu.
Hal, I'm not going to call you. Sorry, but it's never going to happen. So, anyway, to continue the conversation, the radio I was mentioning is the KX2, which, yes, someone probably already mentioned that to you, which is the smaller of the two newer QRP radios that Allcraft makes. But if you're looking for something that just goes all the way down into that range, there are a few. The smaller Ipsu rig, trying to remember the model number of the new one, which is pretty compact, and then ICOM also makes one with a separate head, which I believe is the 7200? No, the 7100. 7100 has a small body and a separate head. Those are the really compact ones that you can dial all the way down. I have a Yaesu 450D, which isn't a big radio, and that one will go down to 5 watts also. And it's inexpensive, and it's been a good little rig.
That separate head thing I don't like, because I don't really think it's going to be in a car all that much. You know, shut up, my wife would kill me. If I don't get killed in a car, she'll do it. What did you say, 450? Is that the model number, over?
Yeah, the Yaesu FT450D, model D, 450D. It's an older rig, so it has DSP, but not particularly modern DSP features, but it's inexpensive. If you want something with more modern DSP features and filtering, the new Yaesu, the new ICOM 7300 has a lot more modern features, but that one is over $1,000, whereas the Yaesu can usually be picked up in the sevens, 700 range. you look at, you know, HRO and Universal Radio, they all carry it. Like I got mine when they were running rebates and ended up paying in the high sixes for it. But and you see them used on eBay all the time in good shape. So mine's been fairly bulletproof. I've done a couple things to it that I shouldn't have by accident, and it always recovered. So, including a remote operation accident one day that caused it to transmit continuously for a while until someone could unplug it. And it's been still, you know, A1, no issues, no problems. Sorry, I have a built-in timeout timer here. But yeah, but the only negative of the FT450D, like I said, is that it's older technology, not quite up to date with some of the newer digital filtering. W2NDG Mobile.
Okay, yeah, well, thank you. That helps a lot. I've also looked at a 457 or 458. They all seem to be clustered in that, you know, $700, $800 range. I guess I'm just going to have to be happy with my HW9 or HW8, it is, heat kit. I bought it a long time ago, used it in the backyard a couple of times, but not after that. I may just try that. I putting in all that extra stuff is not part of the fun for me. I'd rather have a simple basic radio. All that DSP stuff takes a lot of the fun out of it. To me, it does anyway. Then it's not about the challenge. It's just about how expensive your radio is. Anyway, I'm back home, Neil. I would appreciate another report. I've been having trouble with noisy signal and intermittent signal, and I was just down at the dock here in Port Washington, changed the coax that feeds the antenna, and seems to be much quieter. I know that sounds crazy, but for a while I was hearing noise in the radio speaker while I'm in transmit, and with this new cable it stopped, so maybe I had a bad ground in there someplace. Anyway, back to you, Neil. WMD, I don't know, that's weapons of mass destruction. I'm sorry, Neil, go ahead.
That's right, Len. It's W2NDG, or Neil David Goldstein, or No Damn Good, however you want to spell that out. Anyway. And my call sign, W2NDG at Limark.org, will give you my email, so... now, all the extra stuff, as you say, there was a time when you never needed it at all. You'll find that the bands are a lot noisier than they used to be. There's a lot more interference out there. So having a little bit of filtering is nice. But, yeah, that Yaesu is a simple rig and has 6 meters. The Icon makes an equivalent of that, a lower end rig in that same price range. It doesn't have 6. But, like I said, I've had good luck with it. You know, the other route, which would definitely be spending more, would be to pick up one of the little, like, Elecraft QRP rigs and one of their amplifiers for when you're using it at home. But that'll run you about twice as much as one of these simple, older rigs. So, anyway... I'm getting towards my destination. I think I have another 10 or 15 minutes here. So, and then I have to walk to the F train. 82 ESY. Andy, hold on a minute. My timeout timer cut me off again here. So, Lynn, I'll catch you again. W2NDG Mobile. Throw it back to you so you can sign, and then that's Andy in there.
Well, that's great. Thank you. W2NDG, K2IVX, and Andy out there. I'll look you up, and maybe we'll talk a little bit. Sound like you've got a lot of information, a lot of experience with these things. So talk to you later. I'm going to give it to Andy. Hopefully he hears me, and I don't think it's... am I Andy, or everybody's Andy, but hello, Andy. My name is Len. See you guys later. Andy, you get it. Sorry for the sloppy ham radio operation here. K2IVX, clear.
All right, Neil 73, have a good day. And, wait a minute, no, the other Neil. Len, I'm sorry. Have a good day, Len 73. Neil, it's not, yeah, I would never say no damn good, never. Because you can find a rabbit or a fox without a Doppler. That's impressive.
You caught us on a really good night, I have to tell you that. We always eventually find it. But that was exceptional that night. Anyway, I'm driving into Jamaica today. We got to the train station, not realizing that we were on a holiday schedule today, and I didn't feel like sitting for 25 minutes waiting for a train when I could be spending that 25 minutes getting closer to work. So I think with the new queue operating, hopping on the train here in Jamaica will probably be relatively quick. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, so we had a long weekend. We shifted it the other way, though, because Jill and I are both working today. We took Friday off.
Years ago, I had to go through Jamaica as a layover to another transfer in Jamaica. The place scared me. It really did. I was so lost, I had no idea what to do, where to go. That place is a zoo. That multimeter I'm putting together, the Yellenco, that my kids got me for Christmas. I think I screwed up on one of the pads soldering. I put the wrong capacitor in. And when I got to the next one, it was in the bag, the different color, for some reason, I really screwed up. So I took the first one out, put it where it belonged, no problem. But one of the holes I worked on to try to keep getting it out and get the solder out of the hole, I think I burned the pad up. Put the other capacitor in it, and the solder beat it up around the wire. I did the test. Let it drop for a second. There's a test on the LED, and it said you check these leads, whatever it was, and instead of the decimal place being in the 200 spot, it was under the 2 spot. The other tests work, but I'm concerned that I screwed up that circuit board. Any way to fix it or check it further?
Well, either looking at the board, if there's, you know, drawn traces, printed traces between that point and another one, you could test, like, a point-to-point with another meter and see if you get connectivity. Or, if you're sure it's bad or you discover it's bad from testing, then you probably have to solder in a jumper, you know, a short wire from the point that's not conducting over to something close to. So you just have to kind of look at it and see what that lead would be on the board. Manually jump there. Or sometimes if it's close enough, you can lay down a really thin, you know, strip of solder and kind of draw the circuit that was destroyed. So just think in terms of where that lead is actually connecting to. If you trace it through to the static or the traces on the board, sometimes you can fix it just by to whatever the other point was.
It's starting to break up a little bit. I wonder if I could put a little jumper. Use one of the leads that I cut off the resistor and make a jump. Interesting. Anyway, I emailed Elenco to see unless their instructions were wrong and the decimal that lit up was the correct one. Maybe there's a misprint. I hope.
Otherwise, I'm gonna just get a. I'll get a new circuit board in that bag of components and start over again. I don't want to trash the whole thing. I gotta fix it somehow. But that jump, if I can find out where the little trace the line and use a jump, I think that would probably be the easiest thing. I don't have one of those solder vacuums. I use a braid. Not always easy to work with, but it did help. But I think that really screwed up the pass. I usually just use a braid. I have one of those spring-loaded little solder vacuum things. I've used that for like larger amounts of solder. And I do have a vacuum, you know, like an electric vacuum-operated desoldering setup that somebody gave me. And I powered it up once, used it, and I think it needs to be opened up and cleaned out, have a filter cleaned out or something, because after I had it on for about 5 to 10 minutes, I thought it was on fire, the way it smelled. So, I think it needs some maintenance. But, it worked. It did work. So, the problem I had using the braid the one time was that my iron doesn't seem to get hot enough to desolder larger items. I had an optical encoder, you know, like a control, rotary control, that I was trying to desolder out of a handheld radio, and the thing was just absorbing too much heat, so I could never get it hot enough to get it completely off the board. So I ended up throwing up the white flag and getting some help with that one. But normally the braid works fine. The problem with the braid is it heats up the braid so fast, it burned my fingers. I mean, it goes a couple of inches in no time. Probably because it's a very narrow braid. I suppose if I use a thicker one, the heat would go a little slower, maybe. And I was always wondering about those vacuums, if they get clogged up. Do they have to, you take them apart, and you have to clean them out somehow? Does the vacuum have to be heated also in order to, so that the solder doesn't get hard again before you vacuum it up? I don't see how that's going to work. Obviously it does.
K6DTC, use some liquids.
The one I have, it actually, you know, it looks like a soldering iron and the tip is hollow. So that's it. The vacuum, you know, operates directly through the tip. And it's a bulky thing, and it's you know, like a large unit where the vacuum and the heat come from, and then a vacuum line and an electrical line running up to the piece, and then it has two things coming out of it. It has the desoldering tool, and then it also has a, you know, adjustable soldering iron, adjustable heat soldering iron. So it does both. I'll probably set it up again, open it up, and see if I can get it cleaned out. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But anyway, I'm working. So I'm in Jamaica Estates, not at Jamaica Station. I'm going to walk to the F train. Take that in. I used to do this all the time, and it works quite well. So let me throw it back to you, and I'm gonna walk. All right, you have a good day. Thanks for the info. I'm gonna think to see if I can get that jumper in place, but I want to hear what Ellen Co has to say. Have a good day, 73. This is Kiki 2 ESY Clear. Keep my eyes back on the road. Take care. Andy. I'll talk to you again. W2SDG is clear.
DJ is clear. What's the pre-op over? Over. Let me give some advice, Jeff. Tell you have to follow him. Let me do it, Chase. Is it?
This is KB2OIE testing. KB2OIE testing, Echo Link. KB2OIE clear.
This station from Silverton.
Yes, this is Kilo Bravo 2 Ocean India Echo. KB2OIE. I got the radio on in the background and I had to turn that down. I was having some issues with my Echo Link and I wanted to see what she working now. Back to you. Handle is Michael, Laura King Queen. Go ahead.
Hey Michael, very good. Sorry, you sound fine. Audio sounds okay. Signal, I guess, is okay. I don't use Echo Link too often. I fiddle around with it once in a while, but that's something I normally use often. All right. A little quiet here this morning. I'm ready to go out. Grab a couple things. I realized there's being a holiday. I dragged my garbage out last night for garbage pickup, and of course, they don't pick it up today, so I got to drag it back in again.
Roger on that. I kind of know what you mean. Yes, I thought about mine, dragging mine out yesterday, so I looked around the neighborhood and I said, oh, that's right, it's a holiday. And I should know that I work in a school and I know that I have the day off, but I got to go to work tomorrow. The kids are out, but I got to go to work Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then Friday is another holiday for me. I'll see everybody else celebrate the two holidays on the one day, but with my contract, they put it Monday and Friday. Friday's another holiday for me, so looking forward to that, but I got to work this weekend, next weekend, coming up, so I'll be off Friday and got to go back to the schoolhouse on Saturday and Sunday, and then the knuckleheads come back to school on Monday and tear up the building, that's for sure. I think your name is Mark, is that right? I remember the audio, your audio. Is your name Mark? Go ahead. Your name is Michael here. Go ahead.
Right, Michael. You got it right. Yeah, I'm the same way. Today's, I'm off this week also. I mean, I'm retired and I work part-time, but this is a week off because I also work kind of associated with the schools. And I get the same situation because I work in the county, so I get, today's even I'm off the whole week. I still get, a holiday and Friday, I think it's the same thing. I never could understand that, but the way they negotiated it, so it's okay by me. And at least the weather's been good. I tell you, that's a nice thing, because this time of the year, you just never know what you're going to get. So, yesterday was absolutely just spectacular. I mean, even Saturday was nice. And although today they said it's going to be a little cooler, I think right now it's still about 49 degrees. I think it's going to be in the mid-50s, which is, every day we get closer to spring. These be bonus days, and it really is it's a pleasure. You don't get to have something too bad. We had a couple of cold days, a little bit of snow here and there, but overall, it's I think we've so far made out pretty well.
Oh, Roger on that. You got that right. I kind of enjoy that, too. Not too much snow, because that's what I do at the school. I'm a custodian. So when we had that snow a little while ago, I had to be at work. Even though they closed school. And that was a job. In and out with some snow blowers. And it's no joke. I like it when it snows and stops. Then I can finish and that's it. But I kind of enjoyed the day because the kids wasn't there and you didn't have to do nothing inside. All you had to do was fight through the snow. But we've been lucky. I kid you not. We've been real lucky this year with the snow thing. So I guess we're going to escape this one. Better look out for next year. For real. And another thing about echoing. Yeah, I don't play with it too much, but I kind of like to get on it every now and then. I was just on a deck with these people up in Watertown, New York. I went up there a couple of summers ago and enjoyed hanging out with some ham radio operators up there. And the only way I can get on the net is through Echolink. So I was having issues with it, and I had to go out and get another computer. Found out it was my computer. Something with the Wi-Fi. It was all messed up. It was a laptop, an old laptop. So I got rid of that. Got me a all-in-one computer. So I had to go out and spend money. Hey, what did it? Hey, I had to do what I had to do. Back to you, Mark. This is KB2OIE.
KSW2UFO. Yeah, well, it's, funny. A friend of mine works up on the North Shore. He's a custodian up there, and he was telling me the same thing. He says it's when the weather's bad. Everybody has off. He's got to work, and a lot of times, and I imagine, well, the last storm I know, they called school off the night before because I got a notification. It was 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But a lot of times, I guess they don't. And I know he gets called in a lot of times in the evening, early morning, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, because they're not sure what's going to be. Well, there's not enough snow to close the school, but the buses come in and stuff like that. The roads, the driveways, and sidewalks are still icy, so they got to get out there. And he says many times he's out there, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and he's on call to get out there and clean everything up. But yeah, it's a pain. It's a real nuisance with this stuff. When you're younger, it's always fun. I always enjoy it, but now I find it's. And I live like the end of a cul-de-sac, and what happens here is when they plow all the snow in front of me. Although in the last couple of years, they've built a good relationship with the crew that works in this area, and they really take care of me. So, I'm always nice to them. If I'm out there and they're out there, I'll give them coffee or something to munch on, and, they appreciate it. It's a tough job for those guys. They always tell me that, all they get is yelled at by everybody, screaming at them, and most of the time, the people don't fall. They park the cars in the wrong spot. They just don't listen, and it makes it even more difficult. I'm surprised that when these guys are driving these big trucks, they don't hit more cars than they do, because I can't even imagine in some cases having to move that snow and, you need the visibility, especially during the storm.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Roger. I kind of know what you mean. Yeah. And it's the same with me. I'm just like, sanitation. When we plowing it in front of the school, we use snow blowers. So the people across the street, they park their cars on the school side when school's closed, and then they worry about, oh, you're throwing the snow all over my car. I'm like, hey, what do you want me to do with it? And, I have to be at school when they don't close the school and it snows. You got to be there like early in the morning, like 6 o'clock. I'm normally here at 8 in the morning. That's my regular shift, 8 to 4:30. But when it snows, I get out of here like 5 and get there kind of early, 5 or 5:30, 6 o'clock. That's when we go out and start fighting. But I've been doing this for 37 years, Mark. I was going to give it up this year, but we got a better contract. So I said, let me hang around for another 6 years. And I'm only 55. I was 19 years old when I started in that school, same building. All these years over in South Jamaica, Queens. Roger.
Wow, that's a long time. Bet you've seen a lot of changes in the way the kids are last year. Yeah, it's I tell you, I was retired. I retired for I guess 2 years. And And I'm pretty busy. I mean, I got a lot of stuff to do. I don't fool too much with ham radio as I used to. But I ride a motorcycle. I travel all over the country. And I like the outdoors, so I'm pretty active. And I find myself getting bored. Because the real problem is, it's not just me. It's all the people that, my friends and that, and all the people I associate with, are still working. Because most of them just never planned right or, you know, whatever the case is, they just have no choice but to work. And I just, after 2 years, I decided to go back to work part-time. And I like it, because I only work like 15, 17, 20 hours a week. So it's not a lot. And I'm often, you know, I work pretty much only, I don't work for the school, I work for the county, but I pretty much work the same school routine, holidays, and off during the summertime. You know, like this week I'm off the vacation. So it gives me the ability to still do the stuff I like to do, and then do a little bit. You know, keep myself busy. And, you know, make a few bucks, which is always nice, too. So, you know, my dad passed away a couple of years ago. He was like 95, 94, 95. He worked until he was in his 80s. And he was in pretty great shape. I mean, really, all the way up until the time he passed away. And I think that's the key. You got to keep yourself going.
Roger, on that, KB2ORE returning. Okay, fine business. I kind of know what you mean. Wow. I had a guy like that when I started there, he worked until he was in his 70s at the job. And he was, let me tell you, we used to run the heat. In my school that I'm at now, we had four burners in there, but we didn't run all four. When the weather gets real cold back then, we used to have to run three burners, three boilers, and they were all run by coal. Yes, this guy used to shovel the coal. And then I came in and I went to school and got my license, and I was like the second man. When he's out, I had to do it. Man, that was a job. Shoveling that coal, and then you got to clean that shit. Then you got to clean the ashes out, and you got to put some things out for sanitation. Now, that was my job all the time. He used to send them cans up to me, and I had to roll them to the street. One can weighed 70 pounds. And we used to put out like 30 cans every twice a week, 30, maybe 40, 50. On a cold day, we'd like to put out 70. We had to keep the heat on. And it was a lot of overtime in the wintertime for that, man. They just converted our boilers about 8-9 years ago. But that school was always run on coal. That was the job. Back to you.
W2UFO. Yeah, that must have been really... That's a dirty job, too. And then, yeah, shoveling the coal. It's funny because I had, many years ago, for the house I lived in, I had a coal stove. You see, the house with a coal stove. And worked great, but it was a lot of work. And I know just from, you know, it's a small unit compared to what you guys were dealing with. And every day, I had to empty the gas out, you know, fucking put it in the bucket and get rid of it. And then it was a real nuisance. And so I can't even imagine, you know, having to shovel that stuff in those burners, those boilers must have been huge. And you got to keep them going. They just eat that stuff up. You're constantly shoveling that stuff in there. So that's wild. But I imagine by now they got them all converted over. I'm not sure. But that's what everybody used to use, I guess, at that time. But it's funny. You know, I remember it's a tough job. You know, sometimes people look at people in the, you know, in a custodial position in schools or buildings. And they think, it's not a big thing, but the minute the boiler doesn't run and the heat comes, who they yelling at? They're yelling, you know, they're not yelling at the management, they're screaming at the guy that's got to keep it going. So it's a lot of work. And I didn't realize you have to get a license for that. I guess you gotta know what you're doing, obviously.
Roger on that. Yeah, you had to go to school. Well, my union gives the course. So years ago, they used to have a school. I think it was called Apex. I used to see a commercial on television back in the 70s, a boiler course. That was it. And I don't even see that commercial no more. My boss, he said that not too many people like from the street can go take that. You have to be in the system, like in the school system, to take a boiler course. Well, we did that course, you get air pollution and all that stuff. You got to go. It's free of charge with union members. Well, back in the days, it was a school. I remember when I was a kid, I used to see this guy come on, and he used to you talk about boiler technician. Now you don't even see that commercial no more. Apex, I remember that. He used to give all the courses too, mechanic stuff and all that. Back to you.
What happens is, this friend of mine's, was a local free electrician. And I think the unions, have become more sophisticated. They do their own education, they give their own courses. I know in many areas they do that. The regulations, I guess, are stricter today, in every field. So there's more certifications, back in the 1940s and 50s when they were burning coal like crazy, nobody thought about air pollution. Now they got to worry about, burning right, what it's doing to the environment, stuff like that. And then there's probably regulations to how you get rid of this, the ash, and all the other stuff. So everything has become more, and then there's more safety concerns. Back in the early days, nobody cared about the guys doing the work. Just go do it. You got to worry about, inhaling ash is not a good thing either. So there's a lot going on with that. And there's also more liability, so that's where that comes about. But those schools maybe have, a lot of it disappeared. But trade jobs today are good. It's so funny. Let me stop 1 second. What's interesting about that is that trade jobs, everybody talks about how important it is to get a college education, and I agree. I mean, it's definitely important. But there's a lot of really good trades out there and shortages in certain areas and good paying jobs. If you're young and you're willing to put the time in, becoming a local three electrician or out here in Long Island, 125, or any of those jobs. Once you learn a skill like that, you can plumb it. It's so funny, my plumber, I talked to a couple weeks ago, and he said to me, yeah, I was going to become a doctor, he says, but I decided to be a plumber. I make more money.
Roger, roger. Yeah, by using your ballroom courses, electrician, plumbing work, all that. You can, every September, they got courses coming out. And they send me the stuff, I haven't been taking none lately because I've been there too long. So all them other courses, I got my boiler. I went to school for locksmith. I did pass the practical, but I don't have a license, but I have the knowledge. I can pin a lock in no time. I was in the school with pinning locks, and my boy said, yo, where you learn that from? I said, I went to school. You don't have to call a locksmith. I said, Mike, go fix that lock. Okay, no problem. That's what I do in the building. I'm a handyman. I'm the handyman guy in there, and the guy that runs the boiler, at every school, they call them the fireman, not a New York City fireman. That's his title, fireman. And then you got the guys at night that do the cleaning. They consider them as cleaners at night. We got two guys in the evening. They come in the evening and they clean. I do a little bit of cleaning in the afternoon. I clean a little section, and then I'm out of there at 4:30 in the every day. But during the morning, I'm fixing stuff, and if something breaks down, they're calling me on the radio. It's a good job. I love it. I've been doing it all this time, and I enjoy it. Yeah, back to you.
As that's half the battle. If you like what you're doing, that's really the name of the game. Then you don't mind getting up in the morning. In my entire work career, I was in marketing and sales. And, I'd get up like 7 o'clock in the morning, and have breakfast and start my job at, 9 o'clock, let's say, depending on what I was doing. It's a little later because my schedule was always flexible. And, I enjoyed it. I made a decent living and it was fun. But there was a lot of frustrations and stuff like that, which are a lot of jobs. And then when I retired and I took this job on, I love what I'm doing now. And I'm up every morning at 5:30, which is like, I got to sneak around the house, make sure I don't wake up the wife. And like today, I got up. I'm off this week. And I got up late. I got up at like 6. I was just used to getting up. And, but in my older careers, I would have hated it because I just, the job is a job. This I really enjoy. It's fun. And so I don't mind doing it. And I think that's really the key. And that's why I think my dad worked so long because he really enjoyed what he was doing. And he just kept working and working and working. And then finally, they terminated him. He was with the company 30 years. Let me drop a second. It's really wild. He was with the company for 30 years. Now, mind you, this was the second career he had. Okay? So he had worked at the first job. don't know how, a couple jobs, you know, for many, many years. And they called him up one day, 30 years, 29 years, whatever it was, and said to him, we don't need your services anymore, and don't bother ever coming in again. And that was it. And I remember when he told me that, I was like, I was infuriated, you know. And the ironic part about it was, which was really funny, was that about a year later, because he worked for a company called Phonar. Phonar was a company that developed the MRI machine. The guy he worked for, recycle all the time. The guy he worked for was the inventor of the MRI machine. He was involved in inventing it. He was pretty well, you know, established operation guy. And my dad was involved in the engineering side of it. And he had been involved in some special practices. And what happened was, after they had let him go, sometime later, I don't remember now how long it was, a year, maybe it was later, they call him up and he needed some advice on something. They wanted him if he wanted to come back to work. So he tells me the story, and I was still mad from the way they fired him. I said, you know what you got to do? I said, you let me do the negotiations. I said, you're now going to be an independent contractor. And forget about what you made back then. You were making a couple $300 an hour on this deal. Well, after I negotiated with him, because he was the only one who knew how to do what they wanted, they hired him on an hourly basis around $300 an hour. They were not happy, but they had no choice because no one else knew how to do what he had to do. So they ended up paying for it. But can you imagine being there that long and all of a sudden they call you on the phone and tell you we don't need you anymore?
KB2OR, he's returning. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Wow. All those years, and then they're going to call you and say your services are no longer needed. Hey, God. Oh, man, that is wild. That is rough. I kid you not. Oh, I couldn't believe that one. But they found out that they really needed them after all. Because no one else knew how to do that work. See? Hey, that's what counts. I kid you not. Okay, Mark, I'm not going to hang in here too long. I got to get out of here and go make me another second cup of coffee. And I'm going to go out here and look at some of the sunshine. And I guess I do a little work around the house, some outside cleaning up. Oh, for sure. I was trying to play with 10 meters yesterday, but there was nothing out there on 10. I got to upgrade. I'm just a tech. I got to get my general so I can get on. I can listen to those bands, but I can't operate. But, hey, got to stop dragging my feet so I can get in there. And by the way, you got a nice setup. I see you on QRZ. Back to you, Mark.
Michael, very good. Yeah, well, it's all boxed up right now. My station's not operational. I believe the antenna's outside. My dad, when he was alive, lived here in the same house with us. And he was active every day on CW, major CW. That's what actually forced me. That's what got me to call. Check it. His call sign was Kilowatt Delta 2 Oscar Yankee. And when I heard you, you know, I had the radio in the background, I wasn't sure what I heard. I thought I heard KB2OY. And that's why I jumped in. His call was Kilowatt Delta 2 Oscar Yankee. But he's been gone now since 2000 and, well, 2 years, maybe three. I lost track of time then. But anyway, he was active up until the day before he passed away. He was very, very active. Had a stroke in the back, and that was it. So, but he had a good life, and he used to operate one of those stations there. We had three stations down in the basement. Alrighty, enjoy the day. Yeah, I'm going to take my motorcycle out. That's what I do when the weather's nice. Like yesterday, I'm going to go do that. I'm going to give me a haircut, a couple other odds and ends. Maybe ride a little bit today and go down to the beach or something. Have a great day. Nice chatting with you. And, yeah, get to go. Just, you know, got to put your mind to it. Go get upgrade the license. Go do your thing. I'll talk to you soon, Michael. Have a great day. It's W2UFO.
Roger on that, Mark. Okay, take care. Yeah, I keep getting the books and stuff and take it to work. At lunchtime, I study for maybe a week. And then the next thing I know, I put the book down and just sit there and collect dust. I gotta push myself. That's for sure. Take care, Mark. And I saw that motorcycle. That's a beautiful one. Take it easy, 73s. Enjoy your day. It was a pleasure talking with you. AB2OYE, off and clear. Bye-bye.
Take care now. W2UFO.
tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the WQVL repeater.
W2CBL, you're on mark.
W2CBL, KC Candy.
Hey, good morning. I'm at the train station.
It's funny, I was going to say, you don't sound your normal at home or in the mobile sound, so I guess you're on the HD.
I'm standing here on the platform waiting for the next train. Because the trains are operating on a holiday schedule, so the times are different. Normally I'd be in already. But, going in later today. So, it's a nice day. Beautiful yesterday. I wouldn't be surprised if you opened up the pool and went swimming.
Oh yeah, we were in yesterday. Of course, it came out a little green, but that's okay.
Well, it washes off. Yeah, but, you know, yesterday I was outside in just a short sleeve shirt. No sweater, no, the train is here. It's pulling in, so I'm gonna have to go. But, yeah, I think Mother Nature's teasing us.
Yeah, I noticed one of the shows that does some stuff outside, everybody was in shirt sleeves yesterday. But anyway, get on the train, and you don't like to disturb people with the radio on the train, so we'll catch you later, Andy. WHCL, KTKNB.
Yeah. Okay, I'm getting this right now. As I speak, WHCL, we'll see you later.
Rich, KB2NQN.
Steve, how are you doing this morning?
Okay, I sent you an email. I don't know if you received it. And bowling tonight. No work today, but bowling tonight. Last week, 255 in the final game. So that's my season high.
Well, that's definitely a good score. Yeah, I responded to what you sent me yesterday. And I had received a copy of it, and you know, who knows what the motivations are. I don't even know anymore. So which is more important, that or bowling? I don't know. Bowling, but I have no desire. You know, other than maybe like we said, we get together on a Saturday with Andy and Jeff, whatever, and maybe just have some fun. But and the other thing too, Steve. My league was pretty long. I think maybe longer than others. We ran 36 weeks. And I found that to be tiring after a while.
Totally agree, especially when it starts getting nice out, you know. So that's a little hard pill to swallow. But, yeah, we're in the second half already, as you might have surmised. We still do the 36 weeks. And, we're hanging around 7th place. We finished in 7th in the first half. And it looks like we're up ahead a little bit right now with that. Okay, I didn't see the response, so that's why I was asking. No problema. And yes, bowling is much more important than that other stuff.
Yeah, I sort of agree. Although I noticed the league that I used to bowl in, which at one point Plainview has 40 alleys, and at one point we were taking 36 out of the 40. I think they're down to about 18 teams. And it's become expensive. You know, I don't know how bad it is over by you, but it's expensive. And I think the highest I ever finished in, I don't know, almost 30 years, 28 years, something like that, was the second place finish. And it came down around, I think they had a playoff, or the last, maybe it was the last night of the season, was going to determine first and second, and we lost that, and ended up in second place. But back in those days, the money wasn't fantastic. Now, well, it's still not fantastic, but I think now the winning team in the league gets $1,200 a man per half season, so you can end up with something like $2,400, $2,500. So, certainly compensation for the amount of money that you put in.
Yeah, I think our winners get upwards of 15 in that range now. We finished in first, but it's a while ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago. And we've had two or three third place finishes. But generally, we've settled down around the seventh slot, so that's what we've gone for. That's about, I don't know, 500 and change, man. It's not terrible, you know, for the camaraderie that goes on. You know what goes on. So it's a lot of fun. Anyway, just wanted to report that to you. And yes, we'll certainly do something. I don't know if Jeff is going to be able to, he's ailing right now, but certainly Andy will be into it.
I forgot about Jeff. He's got to have that checked out there. I was going to say something about the moment. But, first of all, we were in 80% league up to a certain point of average, and then I think it was 100%, because, you know, if you're a 215, 218 average bowler, my guess is you're going to be pretty consistent. If you're a 190 bowler, you're going to be all over the place. And I think at one point, all you tried to compensate for that and say, you know, 80% doesn't make sense. You're never going to take a point there. The other problem we had was one of the guys on my team, who unfortunately is ill right now, but he was minimum average. He was grandfathered in. I think minimum entering average in the league was 160, 170, something like that. But he was grandfathered in at 10 points below that. And then there was a 10-point, a 10-point drop-off from that. I forget what it was called. And even at that, with such a low average, he was still losing almost all of his points. He just had no business being in the league. He couldn't be consistent. He bowled 90 and 95, 140. And so that used to kill me to go down every week and have that happen.
Yeah, we only have a couple of guys with that low an average, so we kind of absorb that fact. But yeah, it's similar rules, so it's a battle. But I've been hanging around 196, 197 this year, which is great. So I've been trying to maintain that. I'm trying to make a channel 35.
Yeah, we had some really good bowlers that that participated in a couple of those tournaments. I think I mentioned years ago, I'm just trying to think, one of them might have been early, but there were brothers, I forget their name, Lindsay, something like that, twin brothers, and they bowled in a league, I believe in Plainview. On the same night, they both threw 300s when 300s was something to throw.
Sure, I remember the Wall of Fame. They took that down years ago. Now it's pretty close that a guy throws 300 a week. So no more of that. I mean, the league has a honorable mention, you know, for the high games and stuff of the year. But that's as far as it goes. No more Wall of Fame that you would always achieve to get on. Just to show you how good those guys were with the